The Ephesian letter, chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. There are pew Bibles there if you didn't bring one with you and you'd like to follow the scripture reading and the message this morning. We invite you to take one from the pew in front of you, the back of the pew in front of you, and read with us and look at the verses as we attempt to explain them and to emphasize their meaning. Once again, this letter to the Ephesians is so unique in what Paul hoped to accomplish. They were a grand congregation of people, and Paul had spent a great deal of time with the Ephesians, teaching them in the congregation and then also teaching them in their homes, house to house. We learned that these people were in Christ, and that's where we begin our journey and our life of service to God, and that is to be in Christ. And we get into Christ by trusting Him and believing that He was the Son of God, that He is the Son of God, and that He bore our sins when He died on the cross. They were chosen in Christ and predestinated in Christ, and they were adopted into God's family and made an heir, not only an heir, but a joint heir with Jesus Christ. They were accepted in the Beloved. They were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. They were redeemed, and many other such spiritual benefits because they were in Christ. They had been dead in trespasses and sin, unconscious of their lifestyle and how wicked it was, as those who were pagan worshipers and those who did not know the true and living God, Jehovah. They were, as Paul said, without God and without love. They were then saved by grace. Paul wrote those words to them, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." They were a part of a mystery revealed to them first. That is, that men and women and children who would come to Christ, who would trust Him and believe in Him, and who would submit to baptism, identifying themselves with Him, His death, burial, and resurrection, and become a part of an institution that is referred to as the church, where they could sit together in a place approved by heaven and offer up a spiritual sacrifice to God, such as we're involved in doing this morning. They were, in truth, the body of Christ on earth, and they were to be doctrinally sound. They were not to allow men come into the congregation and deceive them and lead them away from the doctrines that Paul had taught them, as he refers to it, the truth in Christ. There's one other thing that could interrupt their fellowship. They were to not emphasize the ethnic differences, the cultural differences. All of these things could hinder their love for one another. All of these things could make the body of Christ less effective. And above everything, Paul wanted it to be a congregation of people as God wanted it to be a congregation of people who, through their love, through their stability, through their humility, and through their being a congregation that had the heart of a servant, they might bring glory to their Lord and to God in the church, world without end, forever and forever. Now this morning we'll look at something that could have also created a circumstance where this church could lose the reputation that it had for being doctrinally sound. The mentality they had developed as they grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is their walk in this world. We can be doctrinally sound and still practice a life that calls attention to hypocrisy. I think churches must be doctrinally sound. That's why they were given teaching pastors, to teach the Word of God so they could be doctrinally sound. To me, it's inexcusable for a church to move away from the teachings of Christ in everything that He taught and all that is in the Bible. We must use that as our constitution. But then again, we must live right in this world in which we live, and that's where we are this morning. Verse 17, "This I say therefore," that is predicated upon all that I've taught you in this book earlier, "therefore, and I testify in the Lord." In other words, this is not my opinion that I'm going to express only. It is also the opinion of the Lord, "that you henceforth," that is from this moment forward, from this time that of reading this epistle in a congregation aloud so that everyone can hear and understand, "that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles." He's addressing the Gentiles who were having struggles, I'm sure, with idol worship, of forbidden actions that to them may not have violated their conscience since they had been reared in idolatry and paganism. So he mentions the Gentiles especially, who had a lot of changing to do, a lot of changing to accomplish in their lifestyle, "that you walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." And this word vanity simply means a wandering around, of not having a particular purpose, just simply going with whatever happens to be happening at that particular time. No real purpose, no real focus. And you'll notice it is a mind thing. It is an intellectual thing. It has come about as a result of being born in this world and being trained by parents who were pagan in their beliefs, idol worshipers, drunkards, all these things. So they need to understand that they must have a purpose that is guided by their knowledge. Now, here's a description of the world in which you live and I live. And it's not a pretty scene. It's not a pretty scene. And you'll notice that Paul said in verse 15 as he wrote, "but speaking the truth in love." Sometimes people get the idea that we simply want to condemn because we're angry. We want to point out the problems and fallacies of this life simply because we are angry at people, we hate people, we don't love people. It is our task. It is an imperative that in speaking the truth, we speak the truth in love. That doesn't mean that we don't speak the truth because we love people. I think there is a bad attitude abroad in the so-called religious world today where if we really love people, we wouldn't ever say a word that was inconsistent with their mindset of what they want to do. It's called narcissism. That is, loving oneself and being angry when their problems and sins are exposed and pointed out. So we simply look over that, change to more entertainment. But Paul said we need to speak the truth in love. And here's the truth about the world and the people among whom we live. Having the understanding darkened. The word understanding means the faculty of moral reflection. Consciousness called into exercise by the moral attention or affections. It's our conscience. Having their understanding darkened. That is, the things that they should grasp, it has been darkened. And therefore, they walk in sin and they walk in disobedience. Now, we're not talking about the congregation. Remember, he said, now look, you live in the world, and you Gentiles have been walking as Gentiles walk. But now I want you to have a lifestyle that is contrary to that which you had been born into and trained without Christ. So you have your understanding, that is, your conscience. It has been darkened. That is, it is darkened and it continues to grow darker. I think perhaps that Paul is calling to mind his own eye problems, which probably were the growth of cataracts that starts out small, but as it gets worse and worse, then the eyes are darkened more and more. Paul said that is the mentality of the Gentile style. You do not use your conscience to enlighten you, and the more you don't use your conscience and the truth that we have taught you according to Christ, the darker and darker things get. But that's the world in which we live, growing in darkness and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. We understand what an alien is. That's exactly what this means. Someone who is not a member of the kingdom of God, someone who is a stranger to all that the church at Ephesus believed in. But they're alienated from this life of God and living for God through ignorance, which is simply not knowing, lack of knowledge, the inability to comprehend and see the light. We'd speak of it in other places, God would in His Word, as being having their conscience hardened. That is in them. That is the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling, that's a pretty strange word really, it means to cease to feel pain or grief, to become callous and literally insensible to the pain. They did have painkillers back in this particular day, some of them very, very strong. They were called pharmakia, that is the word we get pharmacy from. But Paul is saying that these people, in order not to have their conscience bother them, they have ignored it. They have ignored what might enlighten them. And not only have they ignored it and become ignorant, they don't want to feel the pain of an accusing conscience anymore. And whether they were doing this through drugs and drink, of wine especially, that's probably true. In other words, I am so unhappy in my life, I've got to have something to kill the pain of living with myself and perhaps living with others. Not entirely different from the culture in which we live today. They find themselves getting more blind as life continues. They find themselves getting past a feeling of guilt or of having done wrong. And they bring this upon themselves in order to deal with lasciviousness, which is a part of their nature, which is all kinds of evil. And they do that to work all uncleanness. Just think of filth, a filthy lifestyle, with greediness, that is an unrestrained appetite. I tell you the truth in love, it sounds like America. And say, Brother Penn, don't you love your country? Yes, I do. And it really hurts me deep inside to see where our leaders are taking us. And I say leaders, I'm talking about schools and other things where, instead of teaching and condemning the immorality, they tend to encourage it. I don't mean to condemn television. It's a wonderful instrument for education and entertainment. But all of us know that it's filled with filth. And it comes into our homes. It changes the attitudes of our children and the celebrities that we have today, so-called. Now the teachers explain away, and I don't mean all teachers, but our school system is getting to where you can't teach morals. You have to ignore moral responsibility. That's the world we live in. It's the world that Paul lived in. It's the world that the Ephesian church existed in. This is reality. It is the truth in love. Now, what are we going to do living in this world that Paul explained pretty well in just two verses? Well, here's what he said. But you have not so learned Christ. That is, Christ didn't teach you this. And it's rather poignant, I think, that as we think of what Paul is saying here, it has to do with intellectually assimilating facts or things that you have learned from observation or actually studying the situation, perhaps in reading books. But you have never learned it from Jesus by observation. That is, you never saw Christ behave this way. You did not learn it from study. That is, you didn't learn this behavior by studying the Bible. You did not learn it by having been taught by me or other apostles. That is, you did not learn what you were formerly because Christ taught you that, the church taught you that, pastors taught you that, examples of your Christian parents, they didn't teach you that. So if you walk like the Gentiles walk in this world, it's because you're responsible for what you're doing. And you can't say, Christ would have taught this. I don't think Christ taught that the ministry should be in any way in the hands of those who are homosexuals. I just read where the Episcopal Church had ordained a lesbian to be a bishop. That pleases the world. That's walking like the world walks. And this congregation must not do that. Paul said they did not learn this from Christ. They didn't learn it by Christ's example, though some are saying that he must have been a person who was deviant in his sexual behavior because he had all these men around him. Or that he had an affair with Mary. people want to destroy who Christ really is and what he was on earth. Why? So they can live a life of deviation with their conscience not bothering them and going blinder spiritually every day. Teaching the truth in love. And here's what Paul said, that you put off concerning the former conversation, which is lifestyle, which he warns as being the lifestyle of the Gentiles, whom they should not imitate in their lifestyle. Paul said you didn't hear these things because they are not the truth in Jesus. They're falsehoods. And you should put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle the old man, which is corrupt. That has in it the idea of a cadaver that's left without any embalming or anything, and it's just simply rotting off the bones. The corruption according to the deceitful lust. In other words, you're being deceived. You're being taught that you should put yourself first. You're being taught to ignore your conscience. You're being taught to ignore what right and wrong is, to distinguish between these things and to have an attitude of knowing what is right and what is wrong. You're putting all of these things off, and you're deceiving yourself, and you're being deceived so that you can practice what your lust dictates. He said, put off that old man. Just like you would take a dirty, filthy coat and pull it off and take it outside and put it in the garbage can. Take off this old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, make a new start. You Gentiles in the congregation at Ephesus, make a new start. If you have been deceived into practicing the old lifestyle, make a new start. You're in Christ, but you need to get your mind right. And that you put on the new man. Now there's a new man. There's a new creature that was created in your own sinful body when you were born of the Spirit. So now you have this conflict in this one body. You have all the things that the flesh wants to do, which in reality are deceitful, fulfilling the lust thereof. There's the filth and all that you have seen around you, and now you see it still around you. You got to start with that thing, and I refer to that reverently, that has been born again. Your spirit. Make a new start. Which after God, that is in the likeness of God, is created. It's a new creation. Created in righteousness. That is in doing what's right. And true holiness. True holiness, not false holiness, not hypocrisy, but in true holiness. That's the way we are supposed to walk. And when we walk that way in this new man, getting the ascendancy over the old man, we'll learn what it will cause us to do. Verse 25 states, putting away then lying, speaking every man truth. In other words, in the congregation, put on this new man and don't lie to one another. Don't lie to your neighbor. For we are members of one another. That is, a congregation of people. Look, we've got to keep our relationship above the level of what the world practices. We're going to tell the truth in love. We will not lie to one another. And then he enumerates so many other practical things that we'll be studying next Sunday. Let's stand together and sing, please.
Doing and their relationship.